I want to say, first of all, my wife and I, Dolores and myself, we have really enjoyed coming here this month. And I guess we're scheduled, Lord willing, for the month of March. If you need us through Easter, we're okay then. We can have Good Friday service, whatever, if your needs are such, we're offering. So I can do 6 weeks of services or so, and, you know, that'd be great. We enjoy ourselves here. This is a friendly church. It's a warm congregation. We get in a lot of churches and hear all kinds of music. Some of it poorly done, some of it very nicely done, some of it very loud. Some church bands sound like Led Zeppelin or King Crimson. Some of you folks my age will know who they are. But, you know, you get just a wonderful sound, but a lot of sound. But what is absent in a lot of churches are the hymns out of the hymn book, the hymns of the faith, singing hymns like we sang this morning. I enjoyed your first selection, too. But we've enjoyed the music here and had surprises every week. And you're great fellowship. You know, we'll do our best to find you the pastor that you need, whatever that might be. I don't know what your needs are or what your wants are at this point in time. I've not met with the board. But considering you are a people that I have first met only a month ago. It was only a month ago when we had the memorial service for Ricky Moorfield, and I was there in attendance and managed to meet some of your board members. We had talked, I think, earlier that day or the day before, and met them at the memorial service. And I was also pleasantly surprised to see Pastor Al Carson there. He was a man that I placed in ministry up in Michigan, so to see him there in our area was a double surprise to me. And, you know, seems like I've known you a long time. But we're kindred spirits, and we appreciate that warmth and that friendship that we received here. God bless you. Act that way with everybody that comes in here, all the newcomers, and your church will grow. You'll be a spring in the desert, as it were. All right. Remember us in prayer. We're going to be getting on a plane, Lord willing. That's always iffy in Chicago. We always say Lord willing here because you never know what the weather will bear. We'll be getting on a plane Tuesday and going down to Arizona to visit my wife's sister and my brother-in-law. And as we visit them, remember that her sister Susan has some health problems, has heart problems, but specifically has cancer of the lung. And we don't know what the treatment for that is or how much encouragement we can be to her. She's not talking to family members right now, probably in a state of denial. Is not talking too much about it with her husband either. So we don't know what kind of reception we're going to get. We made the arrangements back in November. And so anyway, we're going to go on faith and play it by ear, as it were. So pray that we'll have a fruitful trip. We'll be able to encourage, in a spiritual way too, both of these people, Susan and Steve, C, S-E-A is their last name. Pray for us for Journey's mercies, that sort of thing. And as soon as we come back, as soon as I come back, I'm preaching in a church on Sunday up on the north side of Chicago, far north, up on Devon Avenue. And then a week later, we'll be examining a young man for ordination and hopefully ordaining him on Sunday afternoon, the week after. Be trying to visit in some churches also in February that have been supporting churches. I've been lax in doing that lately because I've been in so many pulpits and been used so much in pulpit supply. But anyway, pray for that and that we'd be able to encourage some of the churches that are supporting us out there. We do that too, try to get in and visit them when we can, give a missionary report. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. In the early days of his career, the clarinetist Benny Goodman shared an apartment with a fellow musician, Jimmy Dorsey. Both men played the clarinet and the saxophone. So the competition between these two was fierce whenever a job came in, whenever a call came in. Rather than share the work fairly, they operated on the rule of whoever got to the telephone first got the job. Goodman recalled an occasion when there was a tie. And Jimmy, the telephone came in two parts back then. Some of you don't know what that is, but you had a mouthpiece and you had an earpiece. And Goodman recalled an occasion when there was a tie and Jimmy got the mouthpiece of the phone and accepted the date. But he says, I had the receiver and I knew where the job was. And we can be thankful that there's no such confusion in heaven when we call on God. Just think, there are a lot of people calling on God every day and giving prayer requests and praying and things like that. And he always gets it right. He knows us by name. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. Isn't that neat? We're not a social security number. We're not a case number. We're not a job number. We're a name there. And your name is written down on the Lamb's Book of Life if you're one of his. And we know that God hears our prayer. Jesus gives a great lesson on prayer here in Luke chapter 11. The key to obtaining answers to our prayers is to persevere in prayer and to pray for one another. In chapter 11, it says, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And as I look at that, I think of Jesus. I think of Jesus that healed most everybody that came across his path that was sick. No one ever died in his presence, and no one ever stayed dead in his presence. Jesus could heal things that no prophet in the Old Testament ever healed. They noted that no one had ever healed a blind man before, but Jesus did in John chapter 9. You would think, we would think, disciples being who they were, that they would say to Jesus, teach us how to heal. Teach us how to heal a blind man. Teach us how to command a man that's been quadriplegic from birth to get up and take up his bed and walk. Teach us how to raise the dead. Teach us some of these things, Lord, because Jesus seemed to have an extraordinary faith, an extraordinary ability to do that, as well as to resist the temptation of Satan. But they say to him, teach us how to pray. It must have been really something to listen to Jesus pray. Do you know that Jesus prayed all night right before he went out and chose his 12 disciples? He prayed. Chose 12 men to carry on the work, and that the work would improve after he left, when he passed it on to them. There are three considerations in our getting answers to prayer, but Jesus answered to them in teaching them to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some of you will recognize that as what is called the Lord's Prayer, most commonly found in the sixth chapter of Matthew, by the way. This is another version of it found in Luke. And it's missing the final part that's in the authorized version, which is, For thine be the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. But this is pretty much the same thing that he's saying there. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but you know what? They said, teach us how to pray, and Jesus gave them this illustration of prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer, because he didn't need to be forgiven of sins, did he? This is the disciples' prayer, and this should be our prayer, a model of our prayer. To pray it as endless words, I think, is wrong too, but it should have these elements in it. All right, but that's not where we're going today. We're going to verse 5, and so let's look there. There are three considerations in our getting answers to our prayer. And the first one in your outline in the bulletin is consider the hungry friend. Consider the hungry friend. He said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has come to me on the journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And so the first thing in focus is a hungry friend, a friend who is needing help. And we all have friends like that. We have people in churches. We have people in churches that were needy. We have to distinguish between needy people, and we call them, you know, well, needy people and people that are troublemakers. You know, there are people that are always needing help, and they're high maintenance people, as it were. And every church has them, and you help them as you go along. And the deacons would always open their fund and help them when they had a need, help them with groceries. They'd hit the church pantry and things of that nature. There are also people that cause trouble in churches, and those are not high maintenance people. Those are troublemakers, you know, and you get those too. And churches have those. We come across them. So you have to distinguish between the two of them. But which of you wouldn't help a needy person that would come to you and be hungry, come from a long journey, need some help? Visitor to this area, just arrived here. We had a man that arrived on a boxcar that came to Chicago and ended up in Summit, where I was the pastor, coming to our church. He was hungry. He came all the way from California on a boxcar, believe it or not, and came in there, and he was hungry that day. My wife and I took him out to eat, to a Chinese restaurant, and let him order whatever he want. You know, we fed him. He was a hungry friend, a hungry friend. Consider the love. My friend has come to me from a long journey, and I'm calling for him. I need help for him. Intercession is the key to help the needy. The true glory of prayer, I think, is intercession, and such was in the power of Abraham. Do you remember when Abraham interceded for Lot? First, he rescued him and Sodom and Gomorrah in a battle. You know, they'd been taken captive. But then he intercedes for Lot because God says, Sodom and Gomorrah is under destruction. I'm going to destroy it because their wickedness has reached to the heaven. And Abraham says, well, what if? What if there's 50 righteous people there? Would you destroy the city for 50 righteous? God said, no. And then he intercedes. They get all the way down to 10. What if there are 10? You know, no, I won't. We'll not destroy the city for 10. Intercedes on the behalf of Lot. And, of course, there was only Lot. He wasn't all that righteous, but they had to get him out before God would destroy the city. Then there was Moses that interceded for the city. God said, stand back, Moses. I'll destroy this people, and from your family I'll create a whole new people. They'll be the people that would be people in my name. And Moses says, oh, don't do that, God. Destroy me. Blot out my name. Take me. Put himself in the stead of the people of Israel because they were disobedient. Then there was Samuel interceding on behalf of the people. He says to God, they're choosing a king. It's wrong, and nothing I can do will dissuade them. And God says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, that I would reign over them. Don't worry about it, Samuel. But Samuel interceding for his people. Elijah, remember Elijah and his prayer on the top of Mount Carmel, interceding for the nation of Israel and for their sins, facing the prophets of Baal. And Jesus was always interceding for his people, for his disciples, praying for them and interceding for them. And here's a man interceding for his friend. My friend has come in from a long journey. He's hungry. Please give me bread. I can imagine him pounding on a door at 2 o'clock in the morning, looking for loaves of bread to feed his hungry friend. I have nothing, he said. Consider the need. I have nothing. You know, when your hands come up empty and you're bankrupt, it's a time for God to work, is it not? When you lift up your hands empty. I have nothing, he says. It's here where we claim spiritual and material bankruptcy, where God is most able to help us. And that's true of our ministry, too. We don't claim extraordinary powers. We claim God's power. Because when we come into a church situation, we tell them we just ask for discernment. We ask for wisdom because God said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them. We ask God because God is wise, we're not. But a hungry friend, a friend needing help, you see in the first focus here as we're looking at this. But also we have a praying friend, the one seeking help, and he's concerned about his friend. And I can imagine banging on somebody's door at 2 o'clock in the morning. Chuck Swoboda did that one time. He was in a late night board meeting, and they they told him, they said, this person is the problem in the church, and he hasn't apologized, and we haven't been able to reconcile with him. And Chuck said, well, let's go get him. And they said, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, no, let's go get him. And they did this. This is out in Downers Grove, one far from here. They went over there and pounded on his door. He said, do you know what time it is? And Chuck said, yeah, you get down here. We're going to resolve this right now. And they did that. I've never faced a situation that late at night, but I have been up till midnight in some of the church board meetings. But a praying friend, one seeking help, and here it goes. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within. I can't imagine even open a door at that time of the night. But I have had calls at my door at midnight. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Why? Because he keeps pounding on the door and keeps knocking, you know, and keeps saying, no, no, I got to have this tonight. We've got to have this tonight. Help me out. Please help me. And the persistence of a praying friend, one seeking help. Consider the confidence that help is to be had. You have a friend, and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves at midnight. If he is a friend, you'll come up with the loaves of bread or the help that he needs. It's a blessing to have a man of God who's a friend, you know, and be able to go to him. Christ gives us a beautiful parable to teach us 2 facts about what God expects from us in prayer. One is that God does not wish for us to only pray for ourselves, but for the perishing around us too. Be concerned about the people around you, your neighbors, your relatives. It's a matter of deep, deep concern. In such intercession, also, great boldness of entreaty is often needed and often lawful and is even pleasing to God. I didn't say that and I didn't come up with it. Andrew Murray did. That's what he came up with. Great boldness of entreaty is needful, always lawful, and even pleasing to God. God says, ask and keep on asking. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists, but believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to believe that God is all-powerful and able to meet the need that you're presenting to him. And so, a praying friend would do that. He'd come to somebody where he knew he could get help, and this fellow would do that. Pounding on his door and just persistence. It says, because of his persistence, he will rise at last and give him as much as he needs and send him on his way. And the object of this and what really comes out in the bottom line is what Jesus said. And I call this, you know, there's the hungry friend, the illustration of the hungry friend. There's the illustration of the praying friend, but there's also a mighty friend that'll meet that need. God is not up there teasing us. God, did you know that God hears every prayer that we give him? Every time we pray, he hears those prayers. Did you know also that God answers those prayers? Every time we pray and cry out to him, he answers. He says to the psalmist, he says he keeps all of his tears in his own personal bottle. God knows the tears that we cry, the things that we cry out. We have a mighty friend, loving and willing to give us everything that is needed. Look on here, verse 9, and this is the bottom line. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. I say to you, ask. What? Ask. It shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Jesus said he stands at the door and knocks. That's the church door. It's not the heart's door. But he pounds on the church door, and he says, if anyone would open the door, would hear my voice, open the door, I would come in and sup with him and he with me. We'll have supper together. He didn't go out for McDonald hamburgers back then. You had a time of fellowship all evening, and they stayed the evening. Jesus says, I'll come in and stay if you open the door. Here's a church in Laodicea with the door shut. And church in Philadelphia, that had an open door. And I believe those two churches are represented today. You either have an open door or a door that's shut with Jesus on the outside in many of the churches that are represented today. But we have a mighty friend that is loving and willing to give us all that is needed. The unexpected refusal, he says at first, I cannot rise. Well, God doesn't do that because he never sleeps. But your friend may say that, I cannot rise. When God sometimes gives us what we consider to be tardy, he commends his gifts. He does not delay them. Things long desired are more sweet in their attainment. God for a time withholds his gifts that thou mayest desire great things greatly. That was written by Augustine, 1600 years ago. Amazing. But God is never late. When he withholds something or says, wait, it's not the time for it, there's a reason. And unlike this story, parables break down when it comes to reality. God isn't sleeping and hasn't put the kids to bed. God does not sleep. He does not tire, and he's there hearing our prayers. But there's the unexpected refusal, and the refusal came about in the beginning, but there was a persistence in this man, and he persisted. And Jesus said, so persist, knock, keep on knocking, seek, keep on seeking, ask, keep on asking. For everyone, verse 10, who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. For if a son asks bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If your son asks for a jelly sandwich, you're going to give him a rock to bite on? None of us would do that with our kids. Wouldn't be a very good father if we did. And if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish or a scorpion or something like that that's going to sting him or bite him? No, he wouldn't do that. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We see the perseverance here. Because of his importunity, because of his persistence, we have a friend named Jesus. You know what? Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do, John 15:14. We have a need. If we wait until God has made us rich, it's neither a sacrifice nor faith. If we wait until God's made us rich, I don't think we need to do that. We ask for the simple things. Give us today our daily bread, things of that nature. We have a faith. God trains us in the school of answer delayed so that we can find out how perseverance really prevails. There is a faith that sees the promise, Andrew Murray writes, embraces it, yet does not receive it. Hebrews 11:13-39. Not everybody lived a triumphant life. Some of them called upon God all the way to their dying day and didn't see the promise. It is when the answer to prayer does not come that the promise we are trusting appears to be of none effect, that the trial of faith, more precious than gold, takes place. That's what Andrew Murray writes. How much more? How much more? God wants to give us some great things. He really does. He loves us. He's not the Santa Claus in the sky by any means. He knows what's good for us. He has several answers. One of them is yes. One of them is no. And one of them is not yet. Wait. It's not the time. But he knows what he's doing. How much more, he says, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is interceding on our behalf, sits at God's right hand and making intercession for us. You know where I find that? Hebrews 7:24. It says he's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him, seeing he ever lives making intercession for them. Ever lives making intercession. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us also. Romans 8:26, it says we do not know how to pray as we ought. And, you know, a lot of times we pray and we say, well, we don't pray like Brother Joe Kovarik or like Dave prays, you know, and we're not as schooled at it as them. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. And it says, with groanings, they're beyond human groanings that we can't utter. This is not speaking in tongues. This is the Holy Spirit making intercession at God's right hand. You have Jesus making intercession. You have the Holy Spirit making intercession. And when we pray, we have the mind of God, the will of God, through the Holy Spirit making intercession for us. How much more, he says. Will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those that ask for him? We need to keep on keeping on. There was a man that was drilling for oil. And he was out in the West and spent all of his money he had, borrowed even more, drilled deeper and deeper into the ground. Finally, he gave up, pulled out the drill. He left, sold the land, had nothing else, and sold everything at a loss. A few months later, another man came along, dropped a drill into the same hole, drilled a few more feet, and he struck a gusher. Didn't drill long enough. A lot of times our prayer is like that, and that's why Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. For everyone that asks, receive. He that seeks, finds. Him who knocks will be open. Persistence in prayer, persistence in prayer. Jesus prayed constantly. As a father gives good gifts to his son, your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to you, and the Holy Spirit will get it right. We'll get what we need. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs. He learned the difference between needs and wants. You know, and some of this is a teaching illustration to us. Do you have a hungry friend out there? Pray for his or her needs. If you have a hungry friend, do your best to help them. Perhaps you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. He's able to save completely those that come to God through him. That's Hebrews 7:24. That's what that means, to the uttermost, completely those that come to God through him, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you do not know where you're going when this life is over. To know him is eternal life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Realize that he died for you on the cross and that he rose again. Call upon him to be your Savior. And you know, you don't have to persist very long, because Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one that comes to me, I will in no wise, in no way cast out. John 6:37. He won't cast you away. Call upon him to be your Savior. We have a problem. We're all sinners. God has a solution. He sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. We have a responsibility, though, and that's to call upon him to be our Savior. Call upon him today if you've never done that. Say, Lord, come into my life. Be my personal Savior. I admit I'm a sinner. I call upon you today. That's the difference between having eternal life and not having it. Call upon him today. Certainly, the certainty and delayed answers to prayer. God is on the throne. He does answer prayer. Call upon him and keep on calling upon him. If you're putting your request out to him and he's causing you to wait, call upon him again and keep on persisting in prayer. The key to obtaining answers. We have hungry friends. We have praying friends. But oh, in heaven we have a mighty friend, the Son of God, Jesus, that's passed there, that sits at God's right hand, prays for us at God's right hand. Oh, latch on to that. That's the key to Christian victory. Let us pray. As we go to prayer, if there be a person that has called upon the Lord to the best of your ability today, slip up your hand. I'll remember you in a closing word of prayer. Anyone at all? Never done this before? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? No one gets turned away from Jesus. God so loved the world, that's everybody. That's you. If your name's Susie, God loved Susie. If your name's George, God loved George. He gave his only begotten son. That if Susie or George or Joe or whatever your name is would believe on him, they would not perish but have everlasting life. Anyone else? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the hand that was lifted up. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to save anyone that comes to you. We just pray that you would strengthen the faith of this one and, Lord, cause just a new things to happen in this life. Lord, place your mighty hand upon this one and just show them the power of faith and the power of belief. Give them the assurance of salvation and assurance of eternal life, not because of this preacher, but because of Jesus, God's one and only Son, who gave his life for us. We thank you that the promise is full. We thank you that the promise is faithful. We thank you that they're written by a God that cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We just call upon you by faith. We fail so many different ways, but we call upon you as sinners, knowing that you bore our sins in your own body on the cross. Realizing that, saying, Lord, we call upon you, save us. And you are faithful to deliver us and to give us everlasting life. Lord, as we think on these things and as we think on answered prayer and unanswered prayer, we pray that we would be faithful and persistent, bombarding the throne of grace for our hungry friends around us, for our own needs, for the needs of the community of Christ in the church. So much more as we see evil days approaching us, let us be called faithful prayer warriors of God. All of us can improve in this area, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.